Okay, Parshas Balosta begins with Aaron lighting the candles. Rashi asks the question, why does it begin with Aaron lighting the candles? And Rashi has an interesting understanding. He saw the Nesiim got to take part. He saw everybody else take part, and he was all saddened. Where's my part? Don't worry. I've got a great piece for you. You're going to light the candles. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know the exact issue that Rashi is trying to deal with. I have not been able to go through the original Midrashim where Rashi stems from. However, just a peep shot from the Seder Advarim here. If you keep in mind what we discussed last week, the beginning of last week's Sicha, Sefer Bamidbar begins with the second month. The second month of the second year, and then we go back in time to the first month of that year, of the second year. Meaning, the second month of the second year, we have the count, we're getting ready to move. The first month is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was built. Sanctified, dedicated, there's a whole dedication ceremony. So Bamidbar is like, okay, we're done with the Mishkan, let's get ready to move. So we count the people, how many soldiers are we going to have? Let's talk about the Levium, who are going to be carrying the Mishkan when we move. So let's go back in time, and let's render that first day of the dedication of the Mishkan one more time. Let's go through some other things that happened that fateful day that we didn't discuss last time, because last time we mentioned just Nadav Avihu, and that changed the course of the rest of Sefer Vayikra. Let's go back to that day. Why it's out of order, that's a great question. It's out of order. That answer, Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah, keep in mind, is not an answer to anything. It just says, I'm shifting your question over to ask him. You just want to know, is it out of order? What's going on here? So I'm telling you, it is. But that leads to a bigger question. Well, why? Ein Muktam U'Mukhar is not an answer. It is a bigger question. It's just telling you facts. I don't have the answer. I'm sorry. I could have focused on that. I didn't. And then we have the events of Parshas Naso and the Nesiim, and we discussed that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a chag, a holiday out of each one of them. It was very precious. What did Nadav Avihu bring? Ketores. What did the Nesiim bring? Ketores. Later on, Korach. Very good. And Aaron, Korach v'Adaso, they complain against Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does he say? Well, Aaron over here is going to challenge you, and you should bring some Ketores, and he's all... You could just imagine... Ketores? No way. His children died bringing Ketores, Asher Lo Tziv Hashem. Did you get this one checked with the Ribono Shel Moshe? Because the last time we did this... And his children were great. And Aaron, perhaps, when he sees the Nesiim on the day of the Mishkan, on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan, he sees his children die and the Nesiim the very same day. That's the issue. The very same day that they brought Ketores and were killed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but them, I want Ketores from them. You, your family, I don't want Ketores from. We don't wait till Parshas Achrei Mos, Yom Kippur, to find out that Ketores is great. We find out later that very day. Or perhaps earlier that day. Think of it that way, possibly. Maybe the Nesiim brought their wagons at the beginning of the day. Kadosh Baruch Hu loved it so much. Shem said, you know what? I'm going to make a separate yantar for every one of you. I want everyone to bring Ketores along with a bunch of other karbanos. And Bnei Aaron see this. Wow, that's incredible. We want a part of this action as well. It's a dedication ceremony. They go ahead and they bring Ketores, and they get consumed. What does Aaron walk away with? The feeling, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously had a reversal of roles here. After all, there's a switching of the Bechorim for the Levium, and a switch perhaps of the Kohanim for the Nasiim. No Ketaris for them, yes Ketaris for them. So Aaron is devastated. He is devastated. What's my piece? What's my role? Comes the answer, you have the menorah. It's an even bigger piece. Bigger? Is that so important that it's a bigger piece? Let's try to figure out if that's important, if it's not important. We'll see. Let's leave that for a moment and come to yet another, perhaps, example in this very parsha where you see something like this, another model. It continues, and there's the swap of the Levim, the Bechorim for the Levim. The next thing is, let's do a retake, a re-rendering in just 2-3 psukim of the people that are going to the army. Good, we're getting ready to go. And Pasa and Perek Tes, all of a sudden, we have Jews complaining that, and it's not so much of a bad complaint, it's a proper complaint, we didn't get a chance to do Karban Pesach. Why is that coming up over here? When you learn in elementary school, very often it's haphazard. You're not really sure. But now it makes sense. Because which month are we in? We're back in the first month of that second year. What's the first month? Nisan. Pesach. Comes the end of the month or the beginning of that, right? Middle, they realize we're Tameh. We are not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach. And they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, in Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin, V'yomru ha'anashim ha'ima ilov, and the people say to him, to Moshe, Anachnu Tameim l'nefesh adam. We're Tameim. We're Tameim l'nefesh adam. Now, who are they Tameh to? Who are they Tameh to? We don't know. Adam. To someone, right? Yeah, which person? Who died? Yeah. Wouldn't that be wild if the people that they're Tameh to... from?
Those are only two people.
Okay. All the people that participated. Oh, so it's not clear. Right. It's not actually clear when they died. It could be they died a week into Nisan, and that the whole, and everything I've been talking about now, according to many, is actually a week later. That the Miluim, the 8 days of Miluim, actually started Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the 8th day of Nisan is thus the dedication ceremony, the 8th day of the Miluim. Nadav Avihu then died on the 8th day, count 7 days from then, and you get the 15th, you're 1 day off from bringing Karban Pesach. Wouldn't it be wild if they, the reason they're Tameim LaNefesh Adam, Tameim LaAdam, is because they were burying, it's all the people that buried Nadav Avihu. The first time you can actually bring Karban Pesach that's not in Egypt, the first year post-Egypt, to actually commemorate and take part in this national activity. So, they say, Lama Nigara, why should we be left out? Now that's a huge question. Why should we be left? They're honest. Who said you get left out? What does that mean? Who said you're being left out just because you can't? You can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that Tamei LeNefesh doesn't bring a Karban Pesach. Who said you have a that you have a chiyuv or have to worry of not having done a Karban Pesach? Who said you have to care about that? I'm osik b'mitzvah. I'm in the middle of convincing someone not to intermarry. So I miss mincha. I miss ma'ariv. I'm talking to them about life and death here. I don't know. There's no makeup. I don't have a chiyuv of makeup. I don't have to do 2 shachrises for missing Maariv that night. I was busy. Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. So, what exactly? They were tummy, so they're tummy. There's a statement in the Gemara that if a person, if every now and then we end up with a year where Shabbos is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And that means that the first day of Rosh Hashanah, there's no shofar. And it seems that there's a Gemara that implies that a year where shofar is not blown on that first day is fateful, is slated for disaster. Rav Natano pointed this out. He does not hesitate every year where it falls out on Shabbos to point this out. Does not skip a year that the World Trade Center came collapsing on the end of a year where Rosh Hashanah first day fell out on Shabbos, where the stock market plummeted in, I don't know, whichever year it was, 90. A terrible depression then. It keeps going down now. It's like depression these days is kind of like, we'll get used to it. It's just a constant state of depression. And except in Eretz Yisrael. I think the idea might be like this. Lama nigara. Right, then they bring Pesach Sheni. Moshe says, wait here, let's figure it out. Maybe if you feel the worry, if you feel the problem, I'm missing something. I don't want to be missing something. Then you're zocha for greatness. Then you'll be zocha for an even greater lot. I don't care which one's greater. I don't care which one is greater. It's, you know, the menorah or the Nesiim's karbonos and ketores. Aaron isn't looking for greater, but he's feeling maybe I'm losing out on Judaism. Maybe I'm being thrown off to the side. Maybe I'm being cast out. Tashlichenu mufana. I don't want to be thrown away. Where do you see this? Such an important point. Sukkos. And it rains. Ah, Baruch Hashem. I wasn't really feeling like I wanted to be in there anyway. Oh, gevaldik. It's raining. I've got an excuse. Terrible! No! HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I miss it. Lama nigara. I don't want to miss it. Please, take away the rain. I want to be part of your mitzvah of sukkah. Don't kick me out of your sukkah with the rain. And if you sit in there with the rain, it might even be foolish. It doesn't necessarily accomplish anything because you're not really living there the way you live. That's the din. The mitzvah of sukkah is to live there the way you live in your home. You don't live in your home in 98 degree temperature like in Ramat Beit Shemesh, or maybe 108. Not sure how hot it gets here, but it gets hot. Fair enough. You never know. In Beit Shemesh, it really deserves its name. And when it's pouring in America, or it's snowing in America, you know, it's not really, that's not normal living. So you won't even be accomplishing the mitzvah. But you tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I miss it. I want the mitzvah. I don't want it to be raining. I don't want it to be sun. I don't want it to be 150 degrees. So, one of the chevra here from our basement is one of the guys that has people over all the time in his home. So he put two air conditioners in his sukkah. That's really cool. It's really expensive, but it's really cool. So, I'm saving up. It's just that we have a giant sukkah. It's going to be a little hard to air condition all that. So, I think that's the nakuda. A lot of people go through mitzvot where they don't necessarily love the mitzvot, but they're in a rote. They do mitzvot. And this comes up in one more place in this parsha, and it's really devastating. It's truly difficult and devastating to see. And that is Parshas Bamidbar. Bamidbar, we're getting ready to travel. We're no longer in Har Sinai. Har Sinai experience is over. We're now in the Midbar getting ready to go. We count up. Tzava, who's in the army? We're going to go. We're going to conquer. Hashem is going to fight your battles. You see the Nasiim, they're gevaldik. Aaron's got the menorah. Everybody is doing fantastic. The Yid and the regular standard people that were just Tommy Levis. Moshe, we want Pesach. We want in. We miss it. Oh, you miss it. Let me give you something. I'll give you a great mitzvah. I'll give you Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni was created for these people. You miss it. Let me give you greatness. If on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, you tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I miss shofar. I've been waiting all year for your shofar. And you're not letting me have it. You'll get greatness. You'll get the menorah. You'll get Pesach Sheni. You'll get. But with all this greatness, and get ready to travel, and the Anan goes up, and the Levim pack up, and they blow the shofars, and the chatzosros, and it's Mamish Gavaldi, everything is there, and the Anan surrounds them. They're traveling, they see the Anan, they're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. This is it, Geula Hasidah, the final Geula. It's right here, 3 days. They finished Avelus, the Shoah of Mitzrayim is over. They're now on their way to Eretz Yisrael. This is it. Vayhi ben Saharon, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem! And we talk about the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually being realized in the world. Hashem's glory is throughout the world, where the world is being Mamlech Hashem, getting ready to be Mamlech Hashem. We're on our way, and Vayyam Kimasonim Rabbos Ne Hashem. Hashem. Where else was there a fire? Now they love you. Oh, once again, we're right back to not. How could it be? They see the. I understand. You have the medieval era in history. It's dark. Sagur Musugar. It's full fledged darkness. You no longer see the light of the last Beis Hamikdash. You don't see the light of the next Beis HaMikdash. You're in the middle of just darkness. You're in desperation. You're in despair. It's gloom. It's terrible. I understand the guy going off the derech then. I understand kvetching and complaining. I get it. When is this going to be over? But it's like we're on a trip and we're going to Tzfat. Before Kvish Sheish was created. So before Kvish Sheish, it was a 4-hour trip. And now with Kvish Sheish, they just shortened the country tremendously. It's unbelievable. We went to the Golan Shabbaton. We got home in 2.5 hours. Maybe I was driving fast. But Rabosai, that used to be a 5-hour trip. They'd shorten the whole country. Gevaldik. New Jersey is bigger. So, you're on the way, the kids spill something, usually one on the other. Then, somehow, the bamba bag, instead of opening properly, bursts open and gets all over the place, and the kid that was screaming for bamba at the beginning of the trip, now his bamba's on the floor, so he's still screaming. And the clothes get ruined somehow. Something else we figure out in the middle of the trip, we left back at home. And we ran out of drinks. And someone is dehydrating, not really, but just as like the slightest morsel thirsty. And it sounds like the most horrific moment. Life's going to come to an end. And we then finally see the sign, Keshet. And it's right there. We see, we're making the right turn. That's it! We can't take this anymore! When is it going to be up? And everybody starts flipping out. Now, wait a minute. If they weren't 4 years old, then I wouldn't really understand. If they're four, I get it. They're four, they don't understand how to read, they don't even understand what it means. We're still reviewing what tomorrow means, because tomorrow is anywhere from tomorrow to about 100 years from now. Right? Tomorrow is our birthday? Yes, in about a half a year. And every day, we talk about how tomorrow is their birthday. And tomorrow is the day after today? That's correct. So that's our birthday? No. That's many days after today. All right, we're working. And yesterday, when it was our birthday? No, that was a half a year ago. We're going to get this down pat. So I understand why a four-year-old will lose it. They've been in the car for hours, and they're dishmeter, and they're a rag, and that's it. They've had it. They have no idea that in 1 minute, 60 seconds, we're going to be there. That could be, you know, in 1 minute. To them, 1 minute could be like a Ribono Shel minute. That's in a million years. So therefore, I understand it. But we're talking about the adults. You see the Anan, you see the Kvod Hashem. How could it be?
Right? They're not in the medieval era. They're in the middle of the Anan. It's the greatest, most glorious beginning. Nadav Aviyu, a tikkun. We did it. We fixed it. It's over. We're ready to go. We're going into Eretz Yisrael right now. We're going to be there in 1 week. We'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will wipe out the enemies. It's kabbalah. Misonanim. Then they're crying about the plague of the Misonanim. Kivras Hatava. Then they complain for more food, for other issues. Complaint. And it goes down. How does that happen? How do you live in the unknown? Technically, I guess the same question could be asked after 1948 or 1967. It's tangible. Gula is right here. So all the kashas the people have, it's right here. Okay, then fully actualize yet? Here, it's mamish, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, promise. So this is what I'm thinking. There are those people that taste the beauty of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's mamish, they could taste it, it's gavaldic. That's what their life is about. That's what they're thirsty for. They're thirsty for Torah. They're thirsty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Shlita, was in the Beis Medrash on Tisha B'Av. Matzei Tisha B'Av, the Talmidim were waiting for him to start eating in the Chadar Ochel after Maariv. But Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wasn't coming. Wait, they sent someone, a representative, Talmud. Go see what's going on with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He finished one yesterday. They waited for him to say Kaddish until he finished. What's he doing? What's going on? He was sitting there learning. Talmud goes to Rav Aaron. Rebbe, the Talmidim are waiting for you to come to the Chadar Ochel. Are you coming? And he said, Tisha B'Av is not just a fast from food. It's a fast from Torah also. He's thirsty for it. And I could do that, but I'm not the one that created the story. I'm just the copycat. The copycat is never as real a McCoy as the one that thought of it. Rebbe Gamliel bemoans the fact that Esav does greater kibud avaim than he does. Why? Because he said Esav would go to the field in his weekday clothes and he'd go visit his father, Yitzchak Avinu, in his big day Shabbos Viantiv. I, on the other hand, I go to the Beis Medrash in my big day Shabbos Viantiv, and I go and I go visit my father, I visit in my big day chol, in my weekday clothes. So Rabbi Fran asked the obvious question, Rabbi Gamliel, if you're claiming to know the difference between you and Esav HaRasha, why don't you just do what the right? Why don't you fix it? So he had his answer. I think this is exactly the point. The first one that thinks of it, he's claiming that was Esav's mahos. Rabbi Gamliel is claiming, yeah, I could figure out, I could copy it, but that was his mahos. That was his nature. His essence was that. He was a great son. Truly great at Kibbutz Avei. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Famous story. Whenever he would get to his home, before he'd walk in, he would tuck himself in and he'd be prim and proper, fix his hat, fix himself, tuck. And a Talmud that was walking with him once, he asked, like, Rebbe, why are you doing this? So he said, because my wife is at home. Really? Most people just like, honey, I'm home. Bad day at work. Drop the knapsack. she spent the whole day doing whatever her things were. You come home like a mess. So many people have been inspired by that story by Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, but only one Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought of it. He was the first to think of it. That was his essence, Shalom Bayis. His essence was Shalom Bayis. So much so that at the funeral of his wife, he did not ask Mechila. The famous tradition, Jewish tradition, at a Levaya, you ask Mechila from the spouse. He didn't. When the Talmud said, Rebbe, don't you want to, are you forgetting? He said, no. I thought about it, and I decided that there's nothing I have to ask Mechila for. There's nothing my wife has to ask Mechila for. There's nothing we have to ask Mechila for from each other. So I thought, when I heard that story when I was single, and I decided, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. And then I got married, and I found out that ain't me. The one that thought of it. He's the real thing. A lot of people could copy Rav Nachman. The one that thinks of it, right? Someone else, David Epstein, asked him in his home. It's become a well-known story already. People have heard it and been telling it over. I guess I've been the one telling it over more than anyone because it was right in front of me. David Epstein, after we went to Rav Nachman's house, we brought the whole yeshiva the first year, and he said to him, Nachman, how do you do it? He said, do what? He said, how do you care about all these people? And one guy was rapping. He got up on the table because everybody had to give a teaching. So one guy, he got up on the table, stomping like on the chicken and the kugel, rapping a Devar Torah. It was really bizarre. We had an Indian fellow with like the longest hair. He has not showered in about 30 years. We had some of the most bizarre people. There was a drunk guy. That's regular, I know. And there were just so many bizarre people of all sorts. And he is like, how do you care about all these people? And Ramal said, well, if you would view them the way their mother would, so then there's no problem. So we can try to take that on, but it's second nature to him. He was in Toronto last year, and there was a question and answer session with Rav Machlis. And they asked him, Zale Newman asked him, Rav Machlis, do you ever get tired of hosting and having people? So he said, do you ever get tired of breathing? Yeah. He wasn't sure how sharp to... He's the real thing. And I think that there's a huge yesod in that. And what's the real thing? How do you know if you're the real thing when you have your practice of Judaism or not? So I have two fundamental points, two litmus tests. Two litmus tests. One is harsher than the other. They're really harsh, so embrace yourselves. It's okay, we only have 11 minutes left. One is really harsh, but I really believe it's true. And it's a tough thing. But number one, whatever you think about during Shemona Esrei, that means more to you than the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's litmus test number one. Now, it could actually be that a mitzvah then means more to you than the Ribbono Shel Olam. I could be thinking about how beautiful I'm going to make my sukkah. I could think about how large that kezias is going to be for Pesach. I could be thinking about how many programs I'm going to run, L'shem Shamayim, how much kirv I'm going to do when I get onto university campus. I'm thinking about mitzvos. But it's a wild concept, because right now I'm supposed to be talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rami Goldberg told it to me in the greatest way possible. 99% of the Yidden, of the from Yidden, would prefer that they have davened than be davening. Such a sharp, shrewd line.
I wish, I daven, I want to be a guy that davens, but I'd prefer that it would be over, and I have davened, than have to actually daven. We all have a feeling on a Monday, Thursday, when there's a chasan, oh yes. Just too sweet. Try not to show the smile. How many people are like the Pesach Sheni Jews? Like, Lama Nigara, I love that tefillah. That's my favorite. Hashem, come on, give me some kind of makeup. I love that one. Few. Really few. Moshe Rabbeinu, he tasted it. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein tasted it. He was thirsty for it. He was a child. My Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. I don't remember if I ever told this story. I think I must have. My Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. Zachrono Tzadik Levracha. Rav Goldwicht. Not Rav Meir Goldwicht. That's his nephew. My Rosh Yeshiva was Nifter in what would have been my Shana Gimel year. And I guess it was my Shana Gimel. I was there for one day. So, my Rosh Yeshiva, in his second year, is already very, very sick. And the doctor had given him precautionary measures not to give any shiur. He wasn't allowed to leave his home. We would go to his home for minyan. And we'd go to his home for shiurim, select shiur. If you were like a good shiur that month, then you'd get to go to the Rosh Yeshiva's shiur in his home. And he was pushing a child for Torah, the way a child is for toys. That's how he was, how much he loved Torah. Loved it. He gave the shiur, it was 20 minutes, was the max, and the Rabbanit would come in and find him there after like 30 minutes, still giving the shiur. And she's like, Abba, Abba, tarich l'sayen, chayav l'sayen. Oh, okay, go like this. Everybody would lean in and go for another half hour. And the rabbi would have no idea. And then she'd walk in and she would blow her lid that he's still going. And he's like, okay, and he goes, and I'd be feeling like, I don't know, am I like killing him by giving into this? His man was like a child for toys. That's what he was for Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Parshas Maaseh, the end of Bamidbar, such a befitting mashal that the Magid Midovna writes in explaining a pasuk at the end of Parshas, the beginning of Parshas Maaseh. Maaseh is, so here's the sum total of what happened between year 2 and year 40. One of the things that happened is we got sentenced for another 38 years, and we didn't go straight in. And it says, Eilu Maasei Bnei Yisrael, here's the list of all the travels. V'yichtov Moshe Smotzoi Hem L'Maaseihem. Moshe wrote their departures, a list of all the departures, L'Maaseihem, towards their travel. V'eilu Maaseihem, and these are the travels, L'Motzoihem, in accordance with their departures. The Magid Midovna writes, what is the difference between the beginning of the Pasuk, that's Motzoyem L'Maseyem, and the end of the Pasuk, that's Maseyem L'Motzoyem? Why is it flipped? And he says a mashal, beautiful mashal, practical or impractical, irrelevant, of a boy who was abused, overly abused by his mother, and his father recognizes that there's no solution, no tikkun for this boy, my son, unless I get him out of the house. So he goes, looks around, comes up with the idea, he's already of marriageable age, I'll go find the shidduch. He goes to some land, goes traveling, finds a perfect girl, perfect family, and he is thrilled. He is thrilled. Gets the son into the caravan, and they go. And the son says to the driver, driver, how far have we gone? 10 kilometers. They go further, how far have we gone? 20 kilometers. They go further, 30 kilometers. father pipes in at some point, "Driver, how much further till we get there?" "Another 10 minutes. And the son says, "Abba, I noticed that my question was always, how far have we gone? And you changed the question to how much further till we get there. Why did you change it? Why is it a different? Why did you ask it that way and I asked it my way?" So the father said, "I'll tell you why. Because you haven't met the family, you haven't met the girl, so you can't be excited. The only thing you're excited about is leaving your suffering. But I'm excited because I already met them. I know it's great. I could be excited about what it is." He said that they didn't taste Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know how great it is. They couldn't taste the beauty of it. They couldn't taste it. They couldn't feel it. So, well, their whole experience was leaving Mitzrayim, leaving slavery. Eilam Asehim, all the journeys were towards a further exodus from Egypt. But for Moshe, Vayichtov Moshe, Moshe's rendition of the story is all the Motzoyim, each one was just a departure in getting closer and closer to the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Now listen carefully to the diametric opposites over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, who never walked into Eretz Yisrael, he was able to taste it in the desert. And the Am that was living in the Shekhinah couldn't, and they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't taste even the Shekhinah. And I think, Rabbosai, that's the point here. That's the point of departure. Moshe can taste the beauty. It's gavaldik. It's amazing. I taste it. It's amazing. And the rest of Am Yisrael, in the middle of its midst, they don't taste the beauty. They go to shul. It's not beautiful. They hear a vart. It's not gorgeous. Sometimes, many times, I hear a dvar Torah. I feel like I should bench over it. I should say a bracha achron. That was such a beautiful vart. I want to kiss the sefer. I want to say tehillim for the one that thought of that idea. It's gavaldik. It's sweet. Ribbono shel Olam. I say special hodah to the Ribbono shel Olam for blessing me. Hashem Heyer Aseina, He gave my eyes light for seeing this. Why was I zocher to see such beauty? And someone who's in the same situation, he also saw it. He heard the same piece of Torah. Doesn't move him. If we go to a baseball game, I'm trying to do chazara, and the other guy that I'm going, he's like, he's in. He's invested. He's like looking at me, like, well, what's with the rabbi? You know, this is good stuff. So it depends. Depends on what our interest is. We have to really, really love the Ribbono Shalom. To love the Ribbono Shalom means, on Tisha B'Av, can we cry? On Shavuos, can we really be happy? Do we yearn for Torah? Do we yearn for mitzvahs? Do we yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do we look forward to davening? Do we look forward to davening? I want to daven. I'm looking forward to this davening. Oh, it is going to be geschmack. I'm looking forward to this learning. Oh, it's going to be sweet. I'm going to make it sweet. I want it. So this is what I believe Am Yisrael was missing, perhaps. A lot of people clearly had it. But unfortunately, there were lots of masses, lots of members of the population that did not have it. And they were lacking in this way. They weren't eager. They didn't taste the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't taste the beauty of greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I pointed out in Shavuos night, with 1 minute left, that Shavuos is really a chag of bikurim, a chag of fruit. And it's not just a... It's not about Matan Torah, really. It's become that. Because in Galus, you can't focus on the Chag of Bikurim, the Chag of the Beis HaMikdash, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But what are you supposed to do then? How do you celebrate? So one way is you do a lot of learning. We'll focus on that focal point. Okay, that's good. Oh, decorations. However, there's also one more piece.
you could actually show the Ribbono Shel how much simcha you're going to have when Mashiach is here. You have the simcha as if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, as if you have Geula, as if you have Bikurim all around you. Ooh, I got here. I got there. It's such a beautiful land. Everything is good. Everything is great. It's great. It's amazing. And I want to say thank you. And I'm living in that simcha. You live in that. So is it a simcha? Is it a simcha? Do we love it? Do we manage to love the Torah? Love a Kaddish Baruch? So it's Hashem. We should all develop this this attitude, this perspective. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein perspective, the other Gdolim, and join the troops to really, really love the Kaddish Baruch Hu, be eager, yearn for it. And if we have that yearning, that Chutz La'aretz, wherever we go in the world, will be Mamash Shlichim for a Kaddish Baruch Hu.